So when you love someone, and you do, you know what's really hard? You know what the hardest lesson to learn is? You can't make them change if they don't want to. Right? You cannot make someone like something they do not want to like. For instance, salt and vinegar chips. I love them. I've only converted one person in my family to that. I'm aiming for one more. We'll see. He's only 13 months old, but I have plenty of time. But we know this. We know this is true with our family members. We know it with a neighbor, don't we? A coworker, someone we have some kind of interaction with. You can't do it. Actually, you can force someone to do what they don't want to do, can't you? But you get the behavior, but not the heart. Right? And then so you can push them, you can threaten them, whatever method you choose to use short of torture. And then what happens as soon as that pressure is relieved? They go back to doing what they wanted to do. It's pretty simple, but a very difficult lesson to learn. Because you can force someone to do the behavior, but never get to their beliefs, never get to their motivations, never really get them. Sometimes I believe that people look at Christianity like God only cares about what's on top of the surface. That God just really wants to force you to do the quote-unquote right thing, regardless of really what's going on underneath. And it's the difference, like I've explained here before, between a pot of water that is boiling and a jacuzzi. Right? There's a very big difference, right? You only want to dip your toes in one of those. Right? So with the pot of water, it has been heated by an external heating source. The whole body of water has been changed. It has been elevated to the boiling point, and then those little bubbles start to form on the bottom of the pan, and then eventually those bubbles start to drift to the surface, and then all of a sudden there is a rolling boil. That's what God wants to do in our hearts. He wants to change every part of our person, who we are, and then those good virtues will bubble out on the surface. But I think it's much easier if we think about religion or Christianity or being a follower of Jesus as that he really just wants jacuzzi Christians, right? They're only half the temperature. A jacuzzi is less than half the temperature of a boiling water, but there's a lot of activity on the surface, isn't there? Water gets sucked in and shot out, and it's just bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. And that is easy-er. But God isn't interested in that. If you listen to the words of Jesus, he's always talking about the motivation under the behavior. Have you ever noticed that? He's always talking about the motivation under the behavior. And we see this in our passage from Matthew with Peter. The text clearly says, and Jesus began to show them, that is to explain to them from the Old Testament passages that he must die. And Peter says, no, no, you will not. And then what's the motivation? Well, Jesus says, because your value system is wrong. Peter wants to live in a kingdom, and he does live under Roman rule where it's just power and you dominate over people. But in the kingdom of God, it falls over and comes under to serve, to change people from the inside out, and not to oppress them or push down on them to kind of get behavior or subjugation or something like that. But the upside down logic of this kingdom of God stuff, it's always working to subvert. It's always looking, it's always lurking underneath the surface, and it wants to penetrate our heart so that those good behaviors that we see in Jesus begin to permeate, begin to be seen in all areas of our life. Another example, Tower of Babel. What was their motivation? What did they say? We're going to build a tower to make our name great. They want to make their name great. God said, I want you to disperse to make my name great. And they said, rather not. Rather not. There's always these motivators underneath the surface. So, here's another problem. You can't make someone change. You can't make someone do what they don't want to do. Here's what I found in my life. Sometimes I can't make myself do the things I want to do. Right? I really struggle sometimes with wanting to do the things that I know are good for me. Isn't that interesting? You're in quite a predicament. Kind of turns out sometimes you can't control anyone, including yourself. Doesn't that bug you? She's like, really? Yes, me too. So, if you see something in your life that you don't want, or that you do want, like you want to be a hopeful person, you want to be a joyful person, you want to be a generous person, you want to be a person that shows hospitality, and then you try to do that, and I can guarantee you this, if you say, I'm going to be a joyful person tomorrow, tomorrow's Thursday, and we're going to rename it Joyful Thursday, what do you think might happen tomorrow? There are going to be a ton of opportunities for you not to be joyful. Have you ever had something joyful happen to you? And it's like someone just popped your balloon. You're like, this should be making me happy. And I'm just not joyful. All of these things. It's very confusing what goes on in our heart. So the reason that Christians confess, and really what confession is bringing those things out of the darkness and into the light and naming them. And so that when we bring them into the light, they lose their power. And so anytime that we see something in our life that we would rather not be there, then we say, God, by the power of your Spirit, kill this thing. Crucify it with Jesus Christ so that I can live a life of freedom, a life of joy, a life of trust, so on and so forth. And so therefore, it is fitting that we would put ashes on our forehead because we are saying, God, I want you to burn away everything in my life that is not good, that's hurtful to me and those I love. But here's another problem. Sorry to be the problem guy. Is that you have to want it. Right? You have to want it. You have to desire it. But I got good news for you. Because that's the very thing that God wants to do in your heart. God wants to build in you a desire for truth, a desire for justice, a desire for mercy, a desire for generosity, a desire that you would read the Bible or try to apply the life of Jesus and the words of Jesus to your life. The very thing that you need is the one thing that God is really good at giving. And so what we do on Ash Wednesday is that we say with the mark of the cross, I want you. I don't want to gain the whole world. I want to win my soul. I don't want to gain all that other stuff. I want you and your kingdom. And so, Jesus says in the passage, if anyone wants to follow me, they have to take up their cross. Now, does Jesus say, if anyone wants to follow me and be my disciple, I am going to push the cross on you? Does he say that? No. He says, you have to come to a point in your life where you want to take up the cross. And so I thought that what we would do tonight with the ashes is that we would kind of live into that a little bit. So instead of me putting ashes on you, that we would have a period of time, approximately 10 or 11 minutes, just so that you know what to expect, where Janice is going to play music on the piano, and then there'll be times of silence, and at any point in that 10-minute span, you can come up, you can dip your finger, you'll only want to do it a little bit, and you'll just simply put your finger in the ashes, and then you'll make the sign of the cross on your forehead or your arm, whatever you're comfortable with. Okay? So are you open to that? And so, so just so you know what to expect, so you know the timing of everything, because the table could get crowded, Janice is going to play a song, and then there's going to be about 2 or 3 minutes of silence. She's going to play a second song, followed by another round of silence. Okay, so two songs, two silences. At any point in there, you can come up if you wish, and you can put the ashes on your forehead. There's a white cloth there, so you can wipe your hands off there. Don't worry that it's white, okay? I chose it for that reason. Okay, so friends, you are accepted by God through grace, right? And through the love of God given to us in Jesus Christ. And so, that is the life that we are invited to live. And so you may come up in these next few minutes, and then we're going to pray together. There's also quotations on the back, some thoughts for you to read. Sometimes I will look at the prayer of confession, I'll pick out a phrase, and I'll use that to prompt my time of prayer. So wherever you are right now, use this time to worship, to pray. I believe there's some pencils in front of you. You can write down some thoughts of what you want God to do in your life during the season of Lent. Okay, friends, let's worship the Lord.